Turning your Bibles, Romans 13. We're going to briefly start looking at this morning at a topic, which I said is sort of unusual for us. The subject is the Christian and the government. We saw a lot of great truths when we talked about the idea of the prayer of Jabez and some other things, how we wanted our life to count for Christ. Well, as I look at this, we're going to study something a little bit different, the Christian and the government. You know, my TV's been out for about 2 weeks, and so I haven't been able to watch things. And I usually watch, you know, some shows in which it has a lot about the political realm and everything. And it's amazing how divided our country is. It's amazing what's going on. And so we're going to talk about that. So how does a Christian relate to the government? What is the purpose of government? What's the role of the believer in the government? And should we be involved in political issues and government issues or not? So those kind of things. So we see a lot of conflict. We see a lot of different things. I read an article the other day that said that the person who wrote the article said he hadn't seen the division in the United States. He didn't think there's division like we have now. The last time it was like that was the Civil War. And so it's just a really terrible time. So when we think about government, what do we think about? I mean, there's communist government, there's communism, and then there's socialism, and there's capitalism, and there's democracies, and there's dictatorships, and there are governments everywhere, and there are all kinds of governments, and how do they fit in, and how does it work? And so for these next several weeks, we just want to think about the Christian and government. Here's the big three things we're going to look at. We're going to look at God and the government, we're going to look at the role of the government, and then we're going to look at believers' role and responsibility in the government. So there's a few things we'll just see, some of it more details than others. A lot of this you know about, but some of it maybe you hadn't really thought about it. So let's see how it goes. When you hear the word government, if someone said, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you, I mean, what do you think of? Is it negative or positive? Do we look at the government as an enemy or as a servant? Or how do we look at it? Oftentimes we think of government, we think of something good. We think of our military and the democracy that we have and how we can do things. And then sometimes we think of red tape, and it just seems like this goes over, if the government takes control of it, it's going to be a disaster or something. You know, and so people think different ways. People seem to say, I love my country, but I don't like my government. Well, they all go together. Think about all the different forms of government there are. When we think about our government, democratic republic, or we talk about the freedom, we have the greatest country in the world. You're supposed to be able to do just about anything you want to do. You can say what you want to say. You have great freedom of speech, and we can do all kind of things. But what there are other places, like a dictatorship or a socialist republic. And when Jesus Christ comes, think about it. When Jesus Christ comes as the King of Kings, will we have some kind of democracy, or will there be a dictatorship? What do you think? When Jesus comes as the king, you know what Psalm 2 says, don't you? It says he rules with a rod of iron. You think it'll be a dictatorship, or you think it'll be a democracy when Jesus comes as the king of the world? It's going to be a dictatorship. Just understand that. Now, what makes a dictatorship usually bad is the person who's the dictator is bad. When you get the perfect, righteous Son of God as the ruler of the world, I think we're going to be okay. So we'll look at that when we get to it. Let me give you sort of an outline of the study, things we're just going to look at. And we're going to look at the Christian and the government. We're going to talk about God and the government, how God ordained it, and the rulers, both good and bad. We're going to talk about the role of the government, which I see as protection. We'll talk more about it. And we're not going to go into a lot of detail. And then we're going to look at the believer's role in the government, the idea of subjection to the government, and then and taxes and all that kind of, and then believer's responsibility and our response, salt and light and those kind of things. So we'll see all that, and we'll just start. Let's start with the God and the government. Well, let's think about that. Sometimes when we think about government, we have both good and bad feelings, and we have great freedom in our country. And listen, there are places in the world that don't have the freedom at all like we have. Just look at China right now, what's going on, and people want to have freedom, and they can't. And people, it's just a terrible thing. And so we've got a great country. But so how do we look at the government? First of all, we realize that government, all governments, are ordained by God. You understand that God's sovereign. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. Government is a divine institution, just like marriage is a divine institution. And God established marriage. He also established governments. And Romans 13, you've got it right there. I'm going to put some of it up on the board. Look at this. It says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Now watch this. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Now, that sounds really weird because when you think about it, that God allows dictatorships, he allows communist things, he allows democracies, he allows freedom, he allows he allows these things, and they're government and government leaders. And notice what he says in that verse again. He says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. So one of the things we have to think about is that we're to be in subject to our government, or subjection to our government. Those governments that exist are established by God. And we'd say, well, now, but if it's not a good government, well, was the government good when Jesus was on the earth? I mean, when you look at Rome, I mean, they were corrupt and just as, you know, and yet Jesus never said, let's rebel against the government. In fact, he actually is writing here, and he's writing to the church in Rome where the head of the government was, and he says, every person is to be in subjection to the government, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So that's the plan, that you think of that, and you think about our country today, and we'd say, oh, we have great freedom. We have a great country. I mean, we got so many different things we can do. And then when we think about the plan, look at this right here. For the government is a minister of God to you for good. Really? I mean, look at verse 4. He says, talking about the government, for it is a minister, it's a servant. Governments are servants of God to you for good. Governments are supposed to be good. Governments are supposed to do right. Without a government, you have anarchy. Without a government, you got to have, like, here's a group of people living together in a country. Well, if there's no laws, no government, no rules, I mean, there's anarchy. And so there has to be some kind of an establishment. And so government is really a servant of God is what it is. And he has allowed throughout history all kind of governments, good governments or bad governments. And they're supposed to be for good. Without it, there would be anarchy. There would be no order. There would be no borders. I mean, think God is the one who raises up government leaders. Think about, what if there weren't any governments? How would it work? Even if you go back to times when you think people lived in different tribes or different clans, they still had some kind of structure and order even then. And so there's got to be structure and order for a government. Now, God is the one who raises up the leaders of the government. Look at Daniel 2, 20 and 21. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Who is it that raises up the world leaders? Ultimately, God. God is the sovereign ruler of all things, and he allows. Now, it doesn't mean he said, okay, I'm gonna put a real bad man here. He allows people to come to places of power, and he's the one that raises up and sits them down. Think about it. When you look at the book of Daniel, you think of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a world leader, and God used Daniel to influence him. He used Daniel to influence Cyrus, the kings of the Medes and the Persians that followed. And so God raises up leaders. God uses people to do, you know, when you think about it, did God allow Hitler to come to power? We have to say, yeah. Churchill, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Obama, Trump, all of those have been raised up by God. God ordains and establishes governments and leaders. At the time of Paul, as we said, at the time of Jesus, the Roman government was a corrupt government. And that Rome had laws. And one of the things that set Rome apart from most of the other places was that Rome actually had laws. And they set laws into place. And so the Roman law was actually very, very good. Even some of the things that the Western civilization of today uses, it goes back to Roman law. I mean, if you're a Roman citizen, you could not be punished or tried in any way without some kind of trial, without something to go before. If you were not a Roman citizen, you had no rights. They could kill you immediately. And that's why when they arrested Paul one time and they beat him and they were going to let him go, and Paul said, I don't think, you remember, I am a Roman citizen, y'all beat me. And they went, oh my gosh. They knew they were in trouble. Now Paul let it go. But Jesus was not a Roman citizen. The trial that he had, the only reason he was brought before the Romans was because the Jewish people brought him to the Romans to deal with him. And they wanted him dead. And at that time, the Roman government did not allow the Jewish people to put people to death. And so in order to get Jesus killed, they had to go to the Roman government to get him killed. God allows both good and bad leaders. Look at this right here. God allows both Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. When a wicked man rules, people groan. We've seen it throughout history. When you have wise people in places of leadership and good people in places of leadership, countries thrive and the people are happy. When there's bad people, the people groan. Look at this one. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. I mean, I always think of Venezuela. You go back just about 10 years ago, Venezuela was the richest country in that part of the world. Now they're eating rats and eating out of the garbage because a rural leader came to power, put a different form of government in, and took everything away from the people, and now they have nothing, and now they're eating rats because there's no food there. From the richest country in the region to the poorest country in the region, based on leadership. So when righteous triumph, there's glory, but when wicked rise, men hide themselves. And there's no doubt, and we see it all the way through history. And when good people, I mean, I think back to the founding of our country. Have you realized the wisdom of the leaders that God brought together to form this country? The wisdom that they had on putting this country together was amazing. It is amazing. Amazing. I remember when Saddam Hussein was captured, there were people in the streets dancing because he was a wicked leader. He was. That takes us to the second part. And that is, what is the role of the government? And you could say all kind of different things. And I think, to be real honest with you, almost every one of us in this room would say the government has overstepped its bounds. And the government is involved in things that they probably shouldn't be involved in. And with our country, the way it's set up, we have states' rights. But the government sometimes has superseded even the rights of the states and those kind of things. So the bottom line, what is the role of the government? And I just to be real simple, the role of the government is to protect the citizens. It is. To protect the citizens both within, which is our country, and without, which is the military. And so why do you have police officers and firemen and government officials? It was to protect us. It's to keep law and order and keep things going. And if they're bad people, that's what policemen, you know, things go wrong, you got fire, you got all this stuff. And that's what the role is. But as far as outside, then you have a military that is to protect the country. That's supposed to be the plan. And we're very fortunate the way we are situated, it's hard to attack us. You have to come from the south or the north. You can't come from the east or the west. I mean, you can, but you got to come across a lot of water to get to us. And so when you think about that, now think about the government. Look, protection within. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God and those which exist by God. And then he says this. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. The rulers of our country, and talking about the protection within, they're not supposed to be a cause of fear for people who do good. When you obey the laws of your government, you're not supposed to get into trouble. Now, if you have some bad leaders, it's a possibility, but that's not supposed to happen. But you should be afraid if you break the laws of the government. Now, we're going to talk about it. There are laws that are, we would say, I don't agree with that law, or I don't. And there's sometimes, like, you get in your car, and you're driving 75, 78, and Derek pulls you over, and he's nice as he can be to you, but he's going to give you a ticket. You know why? Because you broke the laws of the government, and there are consequences, you know? And sometimes there are times that we disobey the laws of the government. We'll talk more about that in just a second. So bottom line, the rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. If we obey the government, I mean, I'm talking about the laws of the government, we shouldn't be afraid. But if we do something wrong, we should be afraid. Look what he goes on to say. He says, when people do bad, the government's role is to deal with evildoers. Listen, when people are murderers and rob things and beat up people and steal and do things that are wrong, they're supposed to get in trouble. They're going against the laws of the government. They're going against the laws. Our laws say it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to kill, it's wrong. And our government agrees with that and has put that together. So listen, look at this. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Right? Then do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. That's Romans 13. So, now, here's the key. Why is all that? Because it is a minister. The government is a minister of God to you for good. If you do what is evil, be afraid. If you break the laws, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Now, the role of the government is to punish evildoers. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what it's for. You know, any this room, you look at this room, there's not evil people here. We're not doing evil things. Now, y'all not going out and killing people and robbing things. I mean, that's you just go through your life. You obey the laws the best you can. You just go through things. But then there are people who if you're not at home, they may break into your house and steal your stuff. Those are evil people. Guess what? They should be in trouble. It's the government's role to deal with them. And so we'll have that. It says, be afraid. People who break the laws of the government should expect the punishment. Now, I want you to see this part right here. For the government does not bear the sword for nothing. It's a minister, an avenger of who brings wrath on one who practices evil. What do you think it means, the sword? You know what that means? That's capital punishment. The Bible teaches capital punishment, by the way. Now, each state has their own rights. Do you put people to death if somebody murders somebody? Should they be, you know, and there are all kind of people everywhere who'll say, oh, nobody should ever be put to death for any crime, you know, but the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, if you go to Genesis 9:6, it says, whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. Now, one of the reasons that God says you put to death a person who kills other people is because that person is killing people made in the image of God, and they deserve to die. And if they're killing people, if you put them to death, they're not going to kill anybody else. Now, a lot of people don't like the death penalty. I think the Bible teaches it. In fact, look right here, the one we just quoted, it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it's a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, not only because if you go against the law, it could get you, but also for conscience sake. There are things that are right and wrong, and when you do that, we'll talk about this. And next week and maybe the week after that as well. Are there times to go contrary to the law? Well, you can go contrary to the law anytime you want to. There are going to be consequences if you do. And my favorite one, just the driving. You drive too fast and you get a ticket or something like that because you broke the law. And that's a simple one that probably every one of us in this room do. If we're not careful and you just say, I hope I don't get a ticket. Well, you're breaking the law. You're right. And if you get a ticket, you can't say that's not fair. No, it's fair. You don't like it, but it's still fair. Are there times to go contrary to the laws of our government? Well, let's just be honest, and we'll talk about it. There are times to go contrary to the laws of the government if the government makes laws that are contrary to the Scripture. If the government said you cannot teach the Bible in your local churches, then I'm going to jail, and that's what we're going to do, because we're going to teach the Bible, because that's what we know to do. The Bible, God tells us to teach the Word, preach the Word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. We're supposed to do that. And so if they ever said, you can't do that, we're going to do it, and then we'll suffer whatever consequences there might be. And we'll talk more about that probably next week and the week after that. So is there a time to go contrary to, you know, I have people say, well, abortion, they shouldn't have abortion. Well, nobody's making us. You're not forced to abort your children, okay? Now, we have laws that allow it, but we're not forced to do it. Now, if they ever came in and said, after you have two kids, the third one you're going to have to abort, now then you got to decide, are we going to go against the laws of the government? I go all the way back to the time of Moses when the Egyptians, the law of the government of Egypt was if it's a boy baby born, if it's a Hebrew boy baby born, put it to death. The midwife's supposed to kill baby boys if they were born Jewish baby boys. Well, Shipra and Puah, that's the two Egyptian ladies, that they didn't do it. Because they said it's not right to kill a baby boy. I'm not going to do it. And so they didn't do it. And when the Pharaoh sent word down and said, why are y'all not killing these babies? And they made up a lie. They said, well, by the time we get there, the Hebrew women already have the babies and they left. You know, they weren't going to kill them. And it says, and God blessed them. Because they went against the law because they knew that a human life is more valuable than some kind of law. Now, let me raise this other point. I know we're about to run out of time. If the government's role within is to punish evildoers, why does it seem like there's so much evil and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse? And so the question is, why is so much evil? And here's why. Because the government does not deal with evil. It doesn't. You can murder somebody And I read somewhere that it's like about a 30% chance you'll get caught, 70% chance you'll get away. And then the 30% that get caught and actually found to murder, they go to prison. And in some places, nothing ever happens to them. Or if they go to prison and they say, you murdered somebody, you're supposed to be put to death, it's probably going to be 10 to 15 years going through all the stuff before they ever get them. And look at this verse in Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Listen, if punishment doesn't come quickly, people just keep doing it because they say, you can get away with it, or it's never going to happen, or it'll be a long time before they ever get me. And people tend to do wrong. Punishment. Listen, let me ask you a question. Under the Mosaic law, where'd they put people in prison? They didn't put people in prison. If you stole, you had to pay back. If you stole something, you had to pay back fourfold. If you murdered, you put it to death. They didn't have a jail that when you did wrong, you paid the consequences of whatever you did. If you stole or this, if you killed, there were certain things that if you did wrong, you were put to death. And so they didn't hold somebody, and they didn't wait 6 weeks, a year to deal with somebody who did something wrong. Now, I'm not saying we're under the Mosaic law, and we're not, but the bottom line from the Bible is that when people do wrong, they need to get caught and punished as quickly as possible. I mean, that's just what it says. Okay, now, so that's, and I'll soon be through. I don't know why I even brought all this up. But anyway, let's think about it. Protection without is the government, the military. We have the greatest military in the world. There's no doubt about it. We've got the greatest people that risk their lives to protect us all the time. I see people in military people. I go up to them sometimes. I say, thanks so much for what you're doing. And I say the same thing when I see policemen and firemen. I mean, they're just great people. So the protection without is the government. Is the military, and I'm not going to go as far any further than that. Role of the government is order and laws and protection. Within, the law is to punish evil and keep order. Without, it's the military to protect us from enemies. Those kind of things that we have. So let me give you some applications, and we'll stop. But I want you to think about it. Let's understand that God ordains governments. And it's hard to understand, but a sovereign God allows certain governments to come at certain times. I think back, and there were the Egyptians, and then there were Assyrians, and then there were the Babylonians, there were the Medo-Persians, there were the Greco-Macedonians, there were the Romans. Those Gentile world empires are listed in the Bible, and God says even before they come to power that they're going to come to power, and who's going to be the leaders. Long before there was the Medo-Persian Empire, God wrote through the prophets, that a man by the name of Cyrus would come to power with the Medo-Persian Empire and let the nation of Israel go back home. It was long before there were any Medo-Persians. And long before Cyrus was ever born, and God allows Cyrus to come to power, what is so amazing, Cyrus said, for some reason I have this idea that I'm supposed to send the Jewish people back home. That's what he says. And then he said, and they need to rebuild their temple, and I'm going to pay for it. And he did. Okay, so God raises up, ordain it, does it. God raises up world leaders. All people are submit to the government. Now, we submit to the laws. If they're unjust laws, if they're laws that are contrary to the Bible, then we're not going to submit to them, but expect the consequences. Just expect it. When they arrested the Jewish guys, you know, the James and John and all, and they were teaching, the government officials of the Jewish people, the Sanhedrin, came and said, we said you cannot talk about Jesus anymore. And they said, should we obey God or you? We'll always obey God. They put them into jail, of course, but then they got out. But the bottom line is they made a decision. The law was not talk about Jesus. They said, we're going to talk about Jesus because that's what we're supposed to do. And we have to do the same thing. That whatever, if there's, but most of the laws in our country are not contrary, you know, things. We may allow things. Okay, let's understand the role of the government. It's protection within and without. Within, the law, the police, to punish evil, all the good stuff, law and order, that kind of thing. Without, the military protection from evil people and evil nations. And it's there. And then finally, just understand capital punishment. There are great controversy on it, and there are people who say you shouldn't put anybody to death ever, no matter what they do. The Bible doesn't say that. And I'm gonna lean on the side of the Bible. I'm always gonna be on the side of the Bible. And the Bible says when people kill other people, they deserve to die and they should die. But that's what you're gonna have to decide for yourself. Look at the scripture and see what you think.